Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? I'll tell you what I want to do to begin with this morning is because it's very powerful. I want you to hold your Bibles up if you have them.
Come on.
I just want you to hold them up. If you got an iPad or a phone, that's okay too. I know you got your word on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, your Android. But I want you to tell you there's power in this word. And that same power that's in this word's in here today, y'all. And it lives in your lives if you've accepted Jesus Christ. That same power that rose him from the grave. That same power that was in that sling that hit the Goliath. That same power that it had Peter to walk on the water. Y'all, I want to tell you, don't ever forsake the power of the Word of God. It is alive. It is real. And I'm going to pray over it this morning because I believe in it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what it is. It is a lamp. It's a guide unto my feet, Father, and I'm so thankful for it. You light my paths through it, Father. Lord, you help me through it. You get me through the days because of staying in your word. And as we read it together, Lord, bless it to our lives. Let us use it. Let us apply it. Let us put it to work so that others may see you in us, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open up your word this morning, we're going to be in a very familiar passage. If you went to VBS at any time in your life, oh boy, did I go to a bunch of them. I was one of those VBS junkies. I loved it. If I was at the Church of Agape Love at KU Drive on one week, the next week I was at First Baptist down here. I just think Mom and Dad used it as an excuse to get me and Nathan out of the house, but that's okay. Because that's where I learned these precious stories. And as I was looking through my studies that I've been able to teach as a blessing, Lord has allowed me to teach the Word of God. It has been something I've not forsaken at all. I look back in all of the Lifeway study books and all of the books that I had gotten whenever I was teaching at Dogwood Baptist, and there was not one passage or study on Samson. Now, I don't know if that's because of the sensuality of it. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about Song of Solomon either. I mean, let's get real. But you know, Samson had an issue, and we're going to get into that here in a moment. But I want you to turn over to chapter 14 of the Word of God. Now, let's go to chapter 13 of Judges. And it's hard to find. It's sandwiched in right after Joshua. And I want you to understand what the history is going on in the Word of God because it gives us an explanation of what we're going to be reading today. You have to see, after Joshua died, previous to this, though everything was going along pretty good. Joshua was doing the right things. They were worshiping God. But I want you to understand the cycle of history there, and it was a miserable cycle that happened soon after Joshua's death. You see, the Israelites, they would go back into forget where they came from. Now, we do that too. I do. I do all the time. I think we all do. We forget where we've come from. You know, I was raised with a fortunate situation of being raised in a heritage home of Jesus Christ. I had the biggest drug problem you've ever had. They drugged me to RAs. They drugged me to VBS. They drugged me to church on Sunday night. They drugged me to handbell choir. They drugged me to choir. I couldn't get away from it, but I'm so thankful for it. Did you know that I even broke out of the Family Life Center one night because I was just tired of being in church? I'd been in it so much. But praise God for it. But you see, this cycle had been happening here in the history of the Israelites, where they would go to a cycle of disobedience, and then they go to a bondage, and then they go to a misery, and then they go to a liberation, and then they would have a time of rest. But then guess what would happen? They'd compromise. They compromise and they go right back to that old bad behavior. Man, that kind of sounds like me. Been there, done that. I can see all the looks on your faces this morning. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been like. I remember a time in my life where I've done the same thing. So what did God do? In all these passages you'll read in the book in Judges, this is a precious chapter of how he would raise up a person, one that was to be spoken for, to get his people back on the right track, and they called him a judge. He'd raise up a judge to deliver his people from their ways of bondage, and then they would repent and turn back to God, but then pretty soon that cycle would just come right back, and it would start all over again. It's kind of like dirty, then clean. Dirty, then clean. Sounds like the clothes at the house, ladies, right? They're dirty, and then they're clean. then they're dirty, then they're clean. You know, there's a lot of people in life that I know, and me personally, have been dirty and then clean and dirty and then clean. And it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be dirty all the time. And I'm thankful that he keeps me clean when I ask him to forgive me of my sins. So there's a crossroads of temptation, and that's where we're going today. We've all been there before. We've all been there before. In that crossroads of temptation, it may have even been last night. It may have been a phone call to go do something maybe you shouldn't have been doing or you knew not to do, or it could have been maybe even this morning. The crossroads of temptation that the kid won't be quiet in the back seat to reach back there and say, "Would you hush?" Or to get angry. Maybe on the way to church this morning it wasn't so peaceful as you were hoping it was going to be. I've had those moments. I'm being honest. Me and Marsha, we fight. We've had fights coming to church. If you hadn't had a fight coming to church, would you please tell me who you are? I want to know. You know what? Because the enemy knows whatever little trap he can dangle and get right in front of each and every one of us to get that going, right? He wants to destroy our witness. He wants to destroy our witness by us arguing in the front seat when the kid's in the back. Then they see that seed and they sow that seed as they get older, because that's what mommy and daddy did. But at the crossroads of temptation, we have a choice, and we have to understand where it is with our kiddos today. It's a spiritual battlefield. It's not in the physical, y'all. It's in the principalities. And it's going on right now as we're in this place. It's going on right now. It's a spiritual battlefield. So that brings us to the story of Samson. And what a precious story it was that my grandma would teach at Cayuga Drive Baptist Church at least once a year, because her felt graph came to that deal. Has anybody seen those felt boards? They're so beautiful. Hers was velvet red. And she would put old Samson up there and start telling the story. And I'll never forget, and I think I've told the Sunday school class this before, that I'll never forget that when we get to the end of the story, what happened, the whole felt board fell down and all the building fell and all the people got killed. And all of us kids will never forget that. It was ingrained in our life that Miss Levada Lou was magic. But she wasn't. It just fell. But I'm telling you, it was a good story that day, and I'll never forget it. So it brought to my attention that Samson, you know, was raised by righteous parents. They were good folks. They were good folks. They listened to God. They sought him. But, you know, there was one thing that he had difficulty doing, and that was having a kid. His dad, Manoah, she was unable to come pregnant. And then all of a sudden, an angel appeared to her. Told her, "You can't drink of the vine. You ain't going to cut his hair. He'll be vowed to be a Nazarite. You ain't going to be around no dead carcasses either." And he was vowed to be a Nazarite, and before God would be the next judge that he would raise up. So she went and told her husband, and old Manoah, he said, "Can't be." Sure enough, he said, "You go get that angel. You find him." Well, the angel appeared to her again, and she hurried and got him and said, "You know what? This is what the angel said." And then Manoah heard it for himself, and he said, this child will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth, and his hair will never be cut. He'll never drink of the wine, and he'll never have contact with dead bodies or carcasses. But soon we would see, after 20 years of being raised up, Samson went wayward. Have y'all ever had a kid that went a wrong direction? I had one. Not Maddie. That's a precious little girl. She's done a really good job, and I'm thankful for her. But I did have a young man, and I love him to death still. But waywardness happens in our lives, doesn't it? In our kiddos. And you know, we should never forsake the prayer request on the back of that bulletin that says we need to pray for our kids, our grandkids, and our aging parents. Folks, it's imperative that we do so, because the enemy has come to kill and steal and destroy everything that he's given us. And the blessings of children is one of the things he goes to attack very first. He is ingrained in the fact that if I can get the kids, I got them all. That's his attack. That's what he wants to do. So soon we would see Samson's demise, from walking through a vineyard to the fact that he even ate honey out of a lion's carcass. And that he killed many Philistines, which was that he was very strong. And he was physically strong, but his mind was very weak. You know, there's a lot of men, we're weak-minded. I'm just going to be up front with you. We're weak-minded. We have a lot of pride. We have a lot of things that we think, well, I can do that. I can do that better than that guy. Yeah, I can. But when it comes down to the crunching power and the things of the threshold of the enemy that lays out in front of us, we get really weak. And that goes for ladies, too, in some instances. I mean, it can go from a book club once a week to three times a week to where you're never at church anymore. Sin comes in all different things and different masks and different things that the enemy tries to do. But the sensual draw to the Philistine women, Samson could just not stay away from them. He just couldn't do it. It was his greatest weakness. He was obsessed with the physicality of women. And this might be somebody you even know nowadays. And it may be something that you've had to deal with in your life, man or woman, that you just can't keep your eyes off the other pasture. And I'm not talking pastor, I'm talking the pasture. The green grass always looks greener on the other side, but that's what the enemy's trying to do, is trip you up. So at the crossroads of temptation where I'm talking about today, we've all been there. It could have been last night. It could have been in that car this morning. It could have been at the supper table last week. It could have been with a child or a coworker. How you react to a situation is imperative. But at that crossroads, if there is any moment of leisure time to contemplate the consequences, the door to compromise, it starts to open, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about that? My mom always told me, an idle mind is what? Okay, it's the devil's playground. It's his workshop. And anytime you're not drowning yourself in the word, drowning yourself in prayer, and you get wayward in your own leisure time, the devil begins to work because he wants to steal that time away from God. He wants to steal that time away from God. So what do we got to do? What the word says. There was a good song we all used to sing, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Remember that? Rebecca, you remember it. They sang it up there at Little Hope. And don't make fun of the name. It's where she went to church. Little Hope Baptist Church. It's a good, they have a lot of hope there, but they call it Little Hope. Okay? It's good. I like that church. So what do we need to do? We need to shut the door. We need to resist the devil. As it says in James, we got to flee from him. Got to get away from him. So the resistance Samson had a problem with, and he lacked it big time in that area. His sensual sin was to his detriment. And Satan had a trap set for Samson. It was a bait, and her name was Delilah. If you'll turn to chapter 16, we're going to pick up right there on verse 4. He's already been to Gaza and married a prostitute. He's already looked at another woman and the trickery of him and his riddles. Go read through the whole text when you get home today. Judges chapter 13 to where we are today. He killed 1,000 Philistines with a donkey bone out of his jaw. I mean, he even tied foxes together to burn their fields. And you see, the Philistines were oppressing upon the Israelites, so Samson, in his judgment and his things that he brought upon them, there's many times that he would take matters into his own hands, but most of these times he asked God's help in doing so, and his strength would be there upon him to perform these acts when he killed those Philistines. And it says here in verse 4 of chapter 16, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So in verse 6 it says, Delilah said to Samson, you know, because he was a frequent acquaintance. Remember, he couldn't stay away from her. He had a sensual desire to be with her. And she said to Samson, please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely. Samson replied, if I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not been dried, I would become as weak as anyone else. So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings. And after she had been with him, of course, you know, she tied Samson up with him while he slept. And she had hidden some men in the inner rooms of her house. And she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it's burned by a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Later on, afterward, Delilah, she said to him, okay, I can see the frustration here. She's all right, well, that wasn't truth. And we see that in Samson, he's telling lies to her to get what he wants. So here she goes again. She says to him, so you've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now, please tell me how you can be tied up securely. Samson replied, if I was tied up with brand new ropes that had never been used, I would become weak as anyone else. So Delilah, she did it again. She took new ropes and tied him up with him. And the men were hiding in the inner room as before. And Delilah cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But again, Samson, he snapped those ropes. And his arms, just like they were thread. Verse 13, Delilah said, you've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now, tell me how can you be tied up securely? Samson replied here in this little passage, how close he's dangling to the trap. He talks about his hair, the very thing that if cut, his strength would leave. He said, if you weave the 7 braids of my hair into fabric on your loom and tighten it with the loom shuttle, I would become weak as anyone else. Boy, Satan, he has a way of working, doesn't he? It starts with one little step. It starts with another little step. And now we're talking about the very vow that he has not broken yet, talking about his hair. You see, he was compromising. He was compromising to get what he wanted so that Delilah would keep doing what they were doing. That's what sin does. It only starts with a button on a phone and saying one thing to one person. And then the next person gets that text, and that person texts it. I'm going to modern times, y'all. I'm not talking about weaving hair. I'm talking about what happens in your everyday lives. And then this person says something about that person. And then all of a sudden, that text wasn't meant to go to that person, and I don't know how they got that. And then this, oh, no. And this person retaliates and goes back. And then before long, we got this big disaster going, and the Satan's sitting over there going, ha, 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 I got him. That's exactly what Samson is doing here. And it don't have to be a text. It don't have to be anything like that. It could be anything. And we'll get to that here in a second. So we see here in this that now she's going to weave the hair, and we'll return to the scripture, and it says, if you weave my hair, then I'll become just like everybody else. So while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of hair into fabric in verse 14. Then she tightened it with a loom shuttle, and again she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. We'll stop right there because I want you to understand that Samson here has never learned how to handle his passion. You know, there's a song that Alabama wrote, and it is the Samson song, Kit. It's called Falling Again. You know that song? You know that song, don't you? I do. I'm going to tell it to you. 1987, 4430 John Deere tractor, riding around WBAP 820. I'd hear this song on the radio when my dad played it because country music was all you had back then, pretty much. Thinking of the faces I've seen back when I was young and green, I was falling back then. Now I'm working on building a fire and flirting with that old desire and falling again into the wind. I fall in love again. I'm falling again. When you'd think I would learn by now to keep from falling somehow, but I'm falling again. Because when I caught that look in your eyes, that's when I realized I was falling again into the wind. Falling again. That is the story of Samson over and over. And as you see, as he toys with his sin, you understand where his weaknesses are. It's with women. But you know, we all have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I have weaknesses. We all do. Some of you, it's a billboard. Some of you, it's a computer screen. And I'm not saying you're looking at things that are of... It could be the fact that you're so enthralled with an auction or a weaving chat room or whatever that it becomes so obsessive to you that you're on it all the time. And it takes away from time with your kiddos or your other family members. You know, it could be something that's a substance. Maybe it was something you used to do in the past that now something that Satan's using to put right back in front of you. It could be drugs, alcohols. You know what? Sin can be your emotions. It could be anger. How many of y'all struggle with anger at times? We all do. It hits us every day. It's how you combat that is where you get victory. How about resentment? Some of us have a problem with holding on to stuff too much, holding on to treasure. Some of us have problems with making our kids our gods. Oh, we got to do everything they want to do. We got to do this. We got to go get that. Oh, we got to do this. We got to go to that ball game. We got to do that. Oh, even if it's on Sunday, we got to go do this. I'm guilty. We all are. We replace God with things and other people to the point where we're just like Samson. We get wrapped up into it. And that's what we need to understand, that in this Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness at this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We must understand that the entrapment of sin in where we're going is what gets us tied down. And in these verses 7 through 16, we see where Samson was toying with sin. When we give a kid a toy, what do they do with it? If I was to give, all these kids were to come down this morning, they're back there having a big time, and I put some Hot Wheels and a Barbie doll and some blocks and a Lego, what are they going to do? I wouldn't even have their attention anymore, would I? What are they going to do with a toy? They play with it. It looks good. They want to have fun with it. And that's exactly what Sam was doing. He's already broken two vows, and at no time was he near or to partake of the grapes of the vine, but he went right through a vineyard. And then right whenever he was with his mom and dad to go marry that prostitute, he killed a lion, came back a few weeks later to get married, and the lion had a carcass with bees in it. He reached over into a dead carcass and pulled the honey out, and then had the audacity to give it to his mom and dad, and they ate of it too. You see, those vows he was supposed to be committed to had been broken because he was out of application of what he was there to be doing. He had too much time on his hands, and he was after women that were not even supposed to be part of him. He was supposed to be devoted to God. He relied so much on his physical strength that he totally neglected his vows to God. And his Samson and his feats of strength where he killed lions and he took a jawbone and killed the Philistines and went and killed 30 men because he messed up with a riddle, it only came to power because he was able to do that because God allowed it to happen. But his pride and his overconfidence would soon lead to an entrapment. I don't care what you look at it and how you look at it. There's a story that's been told many, many times, and many pastors have talked about it, but monkeys are smart. They are smart, right? And the thing about a monkey is you have to understand, they know what's going on around them enough to know, just like some people do, that there's danger. But if you put rice in a gourd and that monkey smells it, he'll stick his hand in there. And in Africa, when they hunt the monkeys, they hang those gourds up and they put rice in them, and that monkey will reach in there to grab that rice. And then they come along to pick the monkeys up because they got their hands in that because they won't let go of the rice. And that's just what sin does. It traps us. We reach in there to grab it, but then when we get it, we don't pull our hand out, and they capture us. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to catch us, and he entraps us. So it's his pride and his overconfidence that led him to an entrapment here. And as we read on, he's refusing to let go of his sensual sexual desires with Delilah. 17 through 22. So it says here in 15, we'll get to that because Delilah's pouring it on now. She's pouting. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me three times now. You told me about the cords, the ropes, and then if I wove your hair, now she's pouring it on. Women do a good job of that, guys. I have that happen to me. Oh, but honey, please, can we just go over to Tyler today and shop? Or can we please? And that's good to do. But, boy, I tell you, it won't be long. She swoons me a couple times. I'll be like, okay, let's go, right? Well, it's all right in that. to do that. But in this, this was like life and death. So she pouted. She just had to get what she wanted. You made fun of me. Now, three times you've made fun of me. You still hadn't told me what makes you strong. So she tormented him. She nagged him day after day. He was sick of it. He was sick to death of it. So finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut. He confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become weak as anyone else. And in verse 18, Delilah realized that he had finally told her the truth. So she sent for the Philistine rulers. Come back one more time, she said. By this time, they'd probably given up on it. Every time they come in there, this big guy that's strong would jump up, and he threatened to tear them apart probably, and they would leave and run off. And they thought, well, that girl, she's just lying, or she ain't getting the truth out of him. So she realized that he told them the truth, so they said they'd come back. So she said, he has finally told me his secret. So they returned with the money in their hands. And in verse 19, Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. And when he woke up, he thought, I'm going to do this just like I did every other time. I'm going to shake off these ropes and beat myself free. But it says there at the end of that verse, he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Isn't that just what sin does? We get so wrapped up in our own things and doing our own things. Before long, we don't realize he's not here no more. And that's whenever we end up in that valley and that shadow of death and that point of where all we can do is look up. But then over and over, we seem to get trapped into that same trap. And it's a vicious cycle. There's consequences of taking grace for granted, y'all. I can say in my own life, there's been many times where I took advantage and I took grace for granted. And, you know, there's some things here that I want you to understand that he told his secret and the trap snapped. If I had a mouse trap up here this morning, that would have been a great thing. I could put some peanut butter on it. But if I just left it blank right there and I had Federico the mouse over here and I let him out of his cage and he comes over here and sniffs of it but it don't have no peanut butter on it, what's he going to do? He's going to go back over to his cage or go wherever or get out there underneath y'all's feet. And that wouldn't be good either. But if I put peanut butter on there and Federico comes over here, what's he going to do? He's going to lick it. Just like Samson let her cut his hair and those men cut his hair and then the trap snapped. He took God's grace for granted. And at this crossroads of temptation, there's always a turn, though, for us available to embrace God's grace. Yet so many times, folks methodically pump the brakes and they coast on through the stop sign onto their road of sin. And how sad it is, you know. We need to understand that in Romans 2 and chapter 2 and verse 4, this is a precious verse. You need to see, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So that brings me to my confession this morning. One of the most precious parts of any service, Frankie, and I will tell this to any pastor, is what happens right here at the end. All this stuff here is just a precursor, a part. It's not a performance. This is not a performance, this worship time. This greeting you at the door, these bulletins being printed throughout the week, the opportunities for ministry throughout the week, all those things are not just something we do for fun. It's because we love Jesus and we want other people to know who Jesus is. But there's a lot of us in here just like me that have one of these. And I thank you, Miss Elizabeth, you didn't have to leave it open where everybody could see my garbage. I've already had somebody say, what is that? When I come in here this morning, and I didn't know it was going to be this big, but mine is this big sometimes. And some of you, maybe you think you don't have a garbage bag. Maybe yours is a Ziploc baggie. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it comes in all. Maybe you have one this morning. You don't know why you don't want anybody to know about, so you left it in the back of the truck or in the trunk. That happens too. But I brought mine in here this morning because I'm going to do something I want you to do today. I've been that Samson. I've been the one who's been deceived. I've been the one who's been crushed. I've been the one who's gone wayward. And I didn't want anybody to know about it. And I look at that bag of trash, and I don't know how many times I went into church services that I brought in a bag with me, and I picked it right back up, and I walked right back out that door. And I don't want any of y'all to do that here today. That's why I brought my trash in here. You say, well, Jared, you're a good guy. Man, you teach Bible study. You talk to them bull riders. You minister to people during the week. You serve. You do all that stuff. But I got a garbage bag, too. You say, well, what is it? Not enough time with Marcia this week. Didn't pray over my child this morning. Didn't feel like going to that Bible study. I was too busy. I can keep going, but I don't need to. That's between me and God. You each got your own bag, and I don't know how big it is. If it's big as mine, boy, we got a lot of reckoning to do today. But I want you to understand that however big your bag is, there's one who can take it away from you today. And his name is Jesus. And you can take it and bring it right down here. I don't see near enough tears on these steps. He'll take everything that you've done, and he'll wash you white as snow. And guess what? When you get up to leave here today, this right here goes away as far as the east is from the west in his eyes. When you ask for forgiveness of your sins, he knows it no more. And then one day when you stand before him and you receive him as your Savior and you stand before him, he becomes your advocate. And whenever God, you're standing in line and you're going to go right up before God and you're going to hold an account for everything that you've done, some things in that bag, guess what Jesus does? He steps in between you and God. He steps right in between you and God. And what does he see? What does God see? Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why I'm leaving this here today. I don't need to tell you everything that's going on in my life. I don't need to tell you about the boy who broke the windshield this morning. And inside I was furious, but I didn't lash out at him. But I was furious. Or I'm not going to tell you about what happened with that hydraulic hose that hung on that tree and got ripped off. And I was like, what in the world were you? No. I'm leaving it here today. Y'all say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal because it could have ruined and crushed my testimony. So I want you to understand that what we're reading here is very, very real. It's very understanding that we need to understand in these principalities in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. And do you realize today that that burden, that addiction, that temptation, that habit that you have, it can cause death? Whatever sin is causing separation, whether it be physical, with a broken relationship, with guilt, with shame, with no direction, or in the spiritual, a broken fellowship with God, a hard heart, or your suppression of your spiritual growth because of that sin that you won't give up, you can do that today. Through repentance and faith in Christ, there is forgiveness, there is restoration, there is love for you. And you need to understand today the wages of sin, it is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Verses 28, and I'm going to close. I want you to know how the story ends, because we can't get to Mamaw Lou's felt board if we don't know how the story ends. We have to get there. And praise God, my grandma's in heaven right now, and I love her. I can't wait to be with her someday. She probably thought them kids don't get a thing out of this, but I'm here anyway on Sunday mornings. Yeah, we did. We got a lot out of it. So Samson right here, it says here in this last part of the passage in verse 28, you have to understand that when they captured him, they gouged his eyes out. They hated this man. They took him to Gaza where he was imprisoned. They put him on a grinding mill. He had to grind every day wheat and grain. And they just wanted to to make a mockery of him because he had killed so many of the Philistines. But before long, his hair began to grow back. Mine never has, but his did. And these had this big festival, and these Philistines all got together, and they're going to mock him and make fun of him because he's killed so many of our people, and they got into a drunken stupor. There's 3,000 men in this Colosseum. Mamaw's board was not big enough to house them all, but she put like 4 or 5 people from other Bible stories in there to make it look like a lot of people. And there's these pillars, and they brought Samson out, and this little servant boy, he said, "Please put my hands up against the pillars of this Colosseum." He can't see a thing. They've gouged his eyes out. They've made a mockery of him. And in verse 28, he calls out to God. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. And with one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my 2 eyes." Then Samson put his hands on the 2 center pillars that held up the temple, pushing against them with both hands. He prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he did during his entire lifetime. Those first 20 years of protection were all there, but these last 20 years he lived a life of dabbling in sin. He would call upon the Lord, and the Lord would come back and restore him, and he would kill Philistines and make things right for the Israelite people. And then things would he would dabble over with prostitutes and go places he shouldn't have been and intermarry with other people and forget about the covenant he had made with God. To the point where now his hair's cut off and he's at this place, he once again calls out to God. If that's you today, I've been there. I've got right in here. I've got right in those steps in there. I've gotten right at First Baptist Church. I've gotten right at First Baptist Church of Stephenville. I've gotten right in Colorado with Fellowship of Christian Cowboys. I've gotten right in the bleachers at Alpine, Texas. I've gotten right with God. I can go back and tell you how many times I've gotten right with God. And I can always tell you how many times I failed, how many times I slipped up, how many times I took a wrong step, and I did just what Samson did. I thought I had it all together. I know God. I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church, like I said. I knew all about it. My church, my family's a heritage. My family's been through everything. We did everything right for God. But I got tripped up too. And I don't know how many times I've come to these steps and asked God for forgiveness, and he heard my cry, just like he heard Samson's. But today, I'm leaving the trash. I'm leaving mine, and I want you to pray about that. I want you to search your heart. I want you to search your heart this morning and look at something that, you know, that's been nagging me. I need to give that up. I need to not do that anymore. I need to understand, God, that is against what your holy word has said. I need to understand that that's not really good for my testimony, and it needs to go away. Samson would eventually turn to the Lord, and in that prayer, when he asked for that strength, it came, and when those pillars went down, it was a statement. It was a statement of Almighty God among the other people, and I'm sure they heard about it all over the land. So this morning as we close, I want you to understand, if the band will come forward, there's precious words that were spoken this morning in song as we sang. And the Holy Spirit is moving in this place already this morning. And I urge you that as you make these decisions and you think about a reflection and you think about the hurts, you think about the suffering, you think about the problems going on in your life, don't let that sin fester, because it says in Matthew chapter 11 and 28, then Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." If you got a burden this morning, confess it. Give it to God. Don't hide your trash. Give it to God. Don't leave here with it today and take it and carry it back and set it in the house. Get rid of it today. He's tenderly calling you. The Savior is waiting. He wants to enter your heart. He wants to clean you up. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for what you are in our lives. You're our King. We thank you for the power of your word. But God, we all go through times where we struggle, where we toy with or dabble with the temptations. God, I pray a hedge of protection over every individual in here today from the devil this week. Lord, as you set your word before us, let it be our guide in every footstep we make, no matter what. Let us be an example to our children. Let us face the difficulty days with joy in our suffering. Let us put to task the words that we've heard and learned from Samson this day, that when temptation comes our way, to not yield to sin and blow through a stop sign that says no, but to turn and resist the devil and watch him flee. God, we love you and give you praise this morning as we sing these songs. Let us get rid of the trash in Jesus' name.